2 Samuel 22. And David spoke the words of this song, and the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Thou hast saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am safe from my enemies, for the waves of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Yes, I cried to my God. And from his temple, he heard my voice. And my cry for help came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils. And fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. With thick darkness under his feet, he rode on a cherub and flew and appeared on the wings of the wind. And he made darkness canopies around him, a mass of waters, thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare. By the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, for I have not acted wickedly against my God. For all his ordinances were before me. As for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was blameless toward him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind, thou dost show thyself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the perverted, you show yourself astute. And you do save an afflicted people, but your eyes are on the haughty whom you dost abase. And you art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness. For by you I can run up a troop. But my God, I can leap over, by my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? God is my strong fortress, and he sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me on my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your help makes me great. You do enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. I have devoured them and shattered them so that they did not rise, and they fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rise up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. You have also delivered me from the contentions of my people. You have kept me as head of the nations, a people whom I have not... who have not known serve me. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out of my enemies. You do even lift me above those who rise up against me. You do rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Amen. Okay, 2 Samuel 22. The reason when I started this, I said Psalm 22 because this is actually a quote from Psalm 18. And so this psalm, obviously, we know is quite powerful because not only is it in this book in Samuel, but Psalm 18, and it's directly, there's minute differences between Psalm 18 and 22, because Psalm 18, remember, all the songs were written as actual songs. And so they would be played with instruments. And so that would be some of the little differences in some of the wordings and those type of stuff. But it's basically all there in Psalm 18. And so now David is basically, he's at the end of the road. And the next chapter gets to kind of his climax in his last song, then the census, and then he dies later on. But this is David's psalm of deliverance. So now his enemies have been defeated. Remember, now the last wave of the Philistines came, you know, four different waves of battle. They are now subdued before the Lord. And so now he's in this place of reflection. He's in this place where he's come to his last days, basically. And he knows it. And so now he's looking back at all that God had done, and he comes to this conclusion. And so, like it says in the beginning, David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So he's in major legacy reflection mode. But notice something about David here is that this whole song is not about him. It's all about God. Even though David was king, David fought the battles, David ruled Israel, all that kind of stuff, but he gives God glory in every aspect of his life. And so even when he wins a battle, I mean, he was out there with the sword, but he even says, even the Lord strengthened my hand that I could bend the bow of bronze to fight. And so he recognizes everything that he has is given to him by God. The only reason he can become king is because God made him king. The only reason he survived Saul is because God gave him the power to outlast Saul. And so this actually, if you break it down, is in six pieces. And so I'm going to talk about each of these six pieces. The first one that goes from verse 2 to the end of 3, just 2, is God is my rock. And so just like, and he's going to use this motif, the rock is actually better translated as the crag. In other words, it's the crevice inside the rock. And so David, for most of his wandering from Saul, from Absalom, remember he hid in caves. And so this was, I mean, even so, do you remember earlier on that he actually hid deep inside and Saul actually came in to relieve himself in that place and didn't even see him in there. And so just like God... just like he was hidden in the cave, he believes God hid him inside the cave. Now, this is such a beautiful imagery as we get to Jesus. Because remember, what is the motif? Especially Peter seems to really draw on this motif, is that Jesus is the rock. He is our rock and our redeemer, which is the words that are used here. But he is the solid foundation. He's the solid base by which we build our faith upon. But Exodus 33 will give us even greater insight, and he says that that he is the rock that basically was cut or crushed, and so that Moses can hide inside that crevice, and so that the glory of God can pass by him. And so in that way, this is true. Jesus is the rock that was crushed for us. Remember, he was crushed for our iniquities, for our sins, that Isaiah tells us. And because of his sacrifice, we are hidden in Christ. We are hidden inside the rock. And his glory doesn't kill us in that way. And so he starts talking, he's my shield. He's my the one I take refuge. He's the shield, the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior who saves me from violence. And so it's the Lord. It's totally God. And then the second part, which goes into the end of verse 20, is it goes to the end of 7. And David asks for God's help. So he establishes, God is my rock, God is my Lord, he's my Savior, he's the horn of my salvation, and everything is God. And then he turns and says, so I ask God for help. So the beginning of verse 4, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. And so in my distress, I call upon the Lord. Yes, I cried, this is verse 7, I cry to my God. And from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry for help came into his ears. So this little part, so he cries out to God. He said, God, save me. This is the prayer life of David. God, come and rescue me from the hands of my enemy. And then from verse 8, from verse 8 to 20, God answers David. So God comes to the rescue. So God helps David. So God is my rock. David asks for God's help. And then from verse 8 all the way to verse 20, he comes down. And he comes and he brings vengeance. The earth shook and quaked. The foundations of heaven were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. So God backs up David in this regard. He bowed the heavens and he came down with a thick darkness under his feet. He rode on with a cherub, the cherub's an angel, and flew, and then he appeared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies, pavilions covering all around him. And so I'm just, and this whole thing goes on as lightning came, and so God came and he answers David, and he answers David with fury and with wrath and with passion that he covers his son. And then 21 to the 28, and this is probably the most significant for us, and this is where I'm going to park myself a little bit. But he tells him this is why God came to help David. This is why God comes and helps his people. And so look at this, verse 21. Well, it starts at the second part of verse 20. It says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. First and foremost, why does God come to our rescue? Because he loves us. This is the first, and you have to get this. It's number one because of his love, because he delights in his children. He delights in you and me. It's not about what we do. Because this part actually, we get introduced in many ways to the idea of righteousness. But he comes, I love this, he rescued me because I was a great guy, because I was holy, because I listened to everything that God said, because I followed the Ten Commandments. No, those things will come later on, okay? And those things are important, as he's going to talk about later on, but he says, he came, he delivered me, or he rescued me because he delighted in me, because he loves me. Brothers and sisters, the reason why God answers our prayers is not because our prayers are so eloquent. It's not because we're so righteous. It's because he loves us. He is a good, good father who loves his children. And he not only, I really like this word even better. He delights in us. When he looks upon us, we make him happy. Isn't that crazy? I don't know about you guys, but especially many of us here that are parents, I think you can very, very easily understand this psalm very well. That when we just look and we gaze at our children, man, they just make us happy. And they're not doing anything special. You know, my son or my daughter could just be eating. I left this morning, and it's crazy. This is what happens every morning like this, and I try to be as quiet as I can be. But before I leave in the morning, I make sure I go and lay hands on all my family. You know, my wife, my son, and then each of the kids. And then when I get to Hannah, because she's usually last because she sleeps on the top bunk. And so when I get to her, she always wakes up. And I exit really quietly, and I lay my hands, and I pray for them. And then I leave, and I think I leave really quietly. So I'm out in the living room, and then sure enough, like less than 20 seconds later, she wakes up, you know, and her hair is like all over the place. And her first words are not good morning. Her first words are, "Appa, can I play the iPad?" Every morning, without fail, "Appa, can I have the iPad?" You know, and it just makes me happy. You know what I mean? So I said, of course I say yes. And then I get in trouble with my wife later on, but I can't help it. And there's just something about the joy of our children, the joy that our kids give us. And listen, they don't have to be doing good. You know what I mean? They don't have to be perfect. It's just they wake up in the morning with her hair all over the place and just wanting to play the iPad. And it just makes me happy. It makes me joyful because that's my kid. That's the difference. That's my kid. And God looks upon us and he says, "You're my kid and you make me happy. You're not anyone else's kid. You're my kid. And when I look at you, you give me joy." So he rescues me because he delights in me, because he loves me. Because when he looks down upon me, and not only when I'm doing well, not only when I'm at church, not only when I'm praying, not only when I'm reading the Bible or doing acts of justice and good, he loves me because I'm his kid. He delights in me. And then he goes on. And the Lord, now he gets to other parts too. So first and foremost, you have to understand this, right? God rescues us. He answered us because he loves us. Amen? He loves me. He loves you. That's his prime motivation. But now there are other things that we can do as well. There are things that we can do that help God in this way. And then he goes on. He says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness." Now, if we understand righteousness, we understand that we have none outside of Jesus Christ. And so he's making a theological statement here. He's saying in this regard, I think it's a prophetic foreshadowing in the way that we have God's righteousness in us. And it's not, we are not righteous. We can never, there's none righteous, not even one. But what happens is because Christ's death on the cross, he made us righteousness. We have now what Paul talks about in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, we have the righteousness of God in him. And so he rescued me because rewarded me according to my righteousness, what Christ has done. So again, we don't take credit for this. According to the cleanness of my hands, now we can take credit for this, because I've kept my hands clean. I've kept my ways of the Lord. I've not acted wickedly against God. In other words, I've not violated his commandments in any way. I was blameless towards him. I kept myself from sin. Therefore, the Lord has repaid me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness before his eyes. With the kind, with the loyal, thou shows yourself kind, or show yourself loyal. With the blameless, verse 26, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. But with the perverted, you show yourself astute. And you have saved an afflicted people, and my eyes are on the haughty whom you do not abase, who you abase. Think about this. So he says here, I follow the Lord's commands. I did what was right in the sight of God. I kept my hands clean in this regard. There is a part that we play in this thing as well. Remember, God, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, James says. And so, in fact, James actually says there is a greater grace. And so, I mean, grace is great, but imagine there's a greater grace when we walk in humility. And so God rescues primarily because he loves us, but there are things that we can do. We can be pure. We can be blameless. We can follow God's commands. We can be humble, every single one of us. And those things help our cause before God, obviously. And so it's not, you know, there's a movement in the church, you know, the hyper grace, and they're like, "Oh, no, you don't have to do anything. You know, God did everything for you." Yeah, true, in terms of our position, but we are meant to live righteously. We are meant to be humble. We are meant to walk in holiness. That's very much a part of this, and you can see the beauty in the way David expresses this. Yes, he loves me. Everything flows out of that place. But David recognizes, I also have my part as well. I also am meant to follow the Lord. I'm also meant to keep His commandments. I'm also meant to be humble. I'm also meant to keep my hands unstained from this world. I'm meant to keep God's words, His ordinances before me in this way. And then, sorry, I'm running out of time. Let me just do this real quick. And then the next huge part that goes into the end of 43 basically is everything that David has comes from God. And so he comes and says, everything that he has, it actually all came from the Lord. So he's giving him praise and glory for that. And then at the end, God, in this way, God is the one, from 44 to the end of 51, God is the one who made him king. And so this was the Lord's will and the Lord's task for that to, him to do that. It'd be good that, you know, today, maybe after we pray together corporately, that you can go and then read Psalm 18, and you can see these kind of parallels. It's quite nice, quite beautiful. Okay, so let's close our eyes today. Let's just meditate on what I just said a little while ago. God answers our prayer because He loves us. He delights in us. God moves on our behalf because of His great love. Again, not because you're righteous, not because you're a great son, but because He loves us. Now, out of that place as well, there's also, we play part two. We keep His law before us. We keep His statutes before us. We keep our hands clean. We also play a part. God has His part and we play our part. The easy thing to do is just focus on our part. Lord, help me to walk blameless before You. Help me to keep Your words in front of me. Help me to keep my hands clean. As we sing, let's pray this morning. Let's do our part.
Singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draw near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your song unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. This is holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. I worship Your 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 holy name.
Let's pray this morning. Maybe you need to, this morning, focus on God's love. Maybe you need to focus yourself on the fact that He delights in you as His children, that He loves us with an everlasting love. And don't escape those ideas, or don't let those ideas escape our minds. Or maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum, and maybe you need to realize and recognize that you ought to also walk in holiness. You ought to make sure that your hands are clean and the Lord's statutes and commands are before your eyes. And wherever you are on that spectrum, well, let's just go to Jesus. Let's go to our prayer focus, and let's pray for our community that's battling cancers and illness. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray over our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing touch. I just want to alert you to the bottom one, Thaddeus' mom, who's in the hospital right now, the very high fever. She has something called sepsis, which is a very strong bacterial infection. And it's probably heightened because of her condition of lupus as well. So let's particularly just pray for Thaddeus and her and his mom. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Let's lift up this country, ask God's spirit to breathe over this land. Let's pray for our church there, SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu, Chloe. Let's pray for their leaders and God's hand to be upon them. Let's also lift up the Chung family and their ministry there. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for Edie Clark as she continues to deal with health issues. And let's pray for the churches, and let's just ask God to breathe life through every pulpit in that country, that the gospel would be preached with power. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for all the members that the presence of God would be upon us and we would lead with humility and with the wisdom of God, not our own wisdom, but with the wisdom of the Lord, our church in that way. So let's pray. Let's pray over our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for men's ministry, the Monday prayer, morning, pure desire, men's fraternity. So let's pray for women's ministry, the also Monday prayer and their discipleship and some of their women's fellowship gatherings are coming together now as well. Also, the young adults, a single life workshop is starting soon, and for Yahweh Eats. So let's just ask the Lord would really bless these groups to really draw closer to one another and to Him. Let's pray for Alpha that just started last week. Let's pray for more guests to sign up, that our church be aggressive in inviting our friends and neighbors and family. Let's pray and just cover the guests. Pray that they'd have an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And let's lift up the volunteers as well. Let's pray for everyone that comes to serve, that they'll be filled with the love of God. Let's pray for house church tonight. Cimbria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, Robin Hood. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to breathe life into each of our house churches. Be with the leaders, the hosts. Pray the presence of God would come down with such power as they study the Word of God together and pray together. Let's cover our annual retreat. Let's pray for the transportation, the buses and the vans that we're taking over there. Let's pray for the venue. Let's ask God to bless the hotel, that there'll be no issues there, and all the logistics that lead up to it. Let's just ask God's hand upon us and protection over all these things. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, this morning for your great love for us, God. Lord, you rescued us because you love us, because you delight in us, God. If there's anyone here in this room or in the listening audience online that are struggling, God, with understanding your love, we pray, God, that you'd lead them to a powerful encounter with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that they would recognize and they would know that they know that they know they are loved by you, that, Lord, they, God, are your delight, Lord. And so thank you. God, also remind us, God, that we also have a part to play as well, that our hands are meant to be clean, God, that we're meant to not profane you, Lord God, by not following your words, and to keep your words, God, before us, Father. And so help us to do our part as well, God, to walk in humility, Lord. God, we thank you, God. Lord, but all those things, God, are just a byproduct of you loving us. We don't do those things to earn your love. We are already loved, God. Lord, we do those things because we are loved. And so help us, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.